everyone. Welcome again to Among the Realms. Once again, we're coming to you from the Trinity Metaphysical Center and Gift Shop. We're located in Hamburg, New Jersey, at the Hardeston Plaza North on Route 23. And we're also the home of the Ecryptico Centers, the East Coast Research and Investigation Paranormal Team. So if you need anything that needs to be investigated, you can contact us through the Trinity Metaphysical website, and ghost hunts are free.
Yes.
And so let's see. So what do we got going on coming up at the shop?
Well, we have our usual classes. We have psychic development. Last night we did our past life regression, which we do that once a month as well. And the end of next month, we'll be having a special guest, which we'll probably tell by the next episode. And we have our monthly Bring a Friend event, which is the second Friday of every month. And on that event, we give our readings 20 minutes, and they're discounted at $17.50 each. And then we also have energy work, which is 20 minutes for $10. We have Reiki crystal healing, chair Reiki, and that's 15 minutes for $11. Then we also have psychic portraits. Eleanor is our psychic artist, and she draws people who have crossed over that are with you, and those are $20. And then we have Erin, who's our massage therapist, and she does chair massage for $1 a minute that night. So, and the gift shop is 15% off, and we usually have, you know, another guest doing something here as well, give out some free giveaways and all that good stuff.
So, April 11th, the Bring a Friend. What are the hours on that?
Noon till 9 p.m.
Okay.
And it's walk-in, so appointments aren't necessary.
That was Jackie, by the way, and I'm Diane. And manning the phones, we have Mercedes.
Hello.
Hi, Mercedes. So we are going to be talking about dream interpretation tonight. And we have Fran is going to be calling in. He's our dream interpretation specialist extraordinaire.
Yes. Fran is a dream interpreter. He's a life coach. He's an intuitive reader, and he's great. And we're going to be giving him a call now, and he's going to, you know, share with us about unlocking the meaning of your dreams and how to interpret symbols in your dreams and recurring dreams and, you know, that type of thing. So we're going to get him on the air, and as soon as he's on, he'll explain a little bit about himself, and then he'll, you know, can answer some questions that anybody might have. I mean, a lot of people have specific things that they dream about, or they have recurring dreams, you know.
We won't have time to do very specific details. Dream interpretation, but if you have any questions maybe on general symbols in your dreams or any recurring type things that are happening.
Hello.
And you want to call in. Mm-hmm. Hey, Fran.
Hello.
Fran,
hey.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, there you are.
Hi,
Fran.
Hi, Fran.
Hey, who am I speaking to now? Jackie?
Jackie, Diane.
And Mercedes. You got all
Hi,
three
guys.
Of us.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. I just told everybody a little bit about what you do, and then I told them that you'd give us a little bit of information on, like, you know, the type of work you do, and just a little bit about yourself.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, I've been doing, you know, the dream interpretations is something fairly new, but it's something that I've always kind of been in tune with. And that's kind of a makeup of my whole character, really. I mean, I've always kind of listened to my inner voice since I was about maybe 13, 14 years old. I've always trusted my instincts and whatnot. And when it came to dream interpretations, it's something that just sparked from, you know, family conversations, you know, people sharing their dreams. And right away, like, something would hit me intuitively, you know, as to why they were having certain dreams and whatnot. And then, you know, it just kind of developed from there. It's more about, you know, with the dream interpretation, it's more about understanding the symbolic meanings behind what, you know, the person is dreaming about.
Right.
And so I'm pretty keen on that. And, you know, there's always an underlying meaning, and a lot of it comes from, stems from, you know, the person reflecting on certain things and trying to really dig behind the symbols. And it comes all intuitively. Along with the intuitional readings that I've done and life coaching, it's all about really just listening to my inner voice and feeling the vibes off other people.
Right.
And that's pretty much what I've done and continue to do. Trusting your inner voice pretty much is what I do.
Which is what we try to teach all the time.
Would it change? Would like symbols change depending on what the person was like that was having them? Would they have like different meanings for different people?
Yes, that's a great question actually, because you know, usually you'll see people, you know, go right to a dream interpretation book, and I'm completely against that. I mean, I understand their use. I understand why, you know, people turn to them. But, you know, they're cut and dry in a sense that they're going to tell you before they even get to know you what it, you know, certain things mean, ladders, stairs, you know, so you dying, friend dying, you know, things like that. And it's not always what it means. It's not, you know, it's not a one-way street when it comes to dreams. You really, really should first have an understanding of the person that you're speaking to, you know, and it's questioning. That's definitely a big part of it. You can't just, you know, tell a dream and then say, okay, well, this means this, this, and that. It doesn't work that way at all. You have to, you know, sort of pick at certain parts, stand out in the dream, and then ask a couple questions. And then from the way that they answer, you know, they're going to relate it to, you know, real life, things, experiences that they've gone through. And maybe from there, that's when you start to feel, or at least that's when I start to feel where these things are stemming from. So symbols and dreams, it really depends on the person. You know, like, for example, in China, you know, black is considered a positive color, but here it could be a negative color. You know, it really depends on, you know, depends on where it's from and, you know, what it means to the person. So, you know, the death could mean something completely different to one person. You know, death could be the beginning of something new. You know, as opposed to, you know,
that's usually how I interpret it too.
And sometimes a cigar is just a cigar.
Excuse me?
I don't know who said it. I think it was
Freud
or something.
Sometimes a cigar is just a cigar.
That's funny.
Yeah. I think a lot of people, when they come in and they have specific dreams, there's a common thread in them where the most popular ones will be if somebody is being chased or they fall off a cliff or something like that, and they panic.
You know what's funny? About that? Yes, you know, being chased. All right, you say you take that one. I've come across. I'm getting chills. And by the way, that is one of the first, I guess you could say, side effects or symptoms or you know, triggers of an intuition. I'm sure many people experience intuitions all the time. You know, you sense things, you feel things happening, and they're not actually happening yet, but, you know, they come to fruition, and then you see, like, oh, wow, you know, I had a sensation about that. And typically with me, when I feel something, it's first I feel like a warmth, and then, you know, you start to feel the goosebumps and sometimes the hair raising, and then from that, a vision just pops up, and it's a vision from completely random. It's not you thinking about it. It's something that's happening externally, and you're receiving, you know, and that's what
right.
happens. So when you just said right now, people running, you know, being, you know, chasing, you know, people, whatever, that's usually the person running away. What are they running away from?
Right.
You know, so it could be something in their life, like, you know, they're being chased, but why are you running?
Or
you know, so that's the thing you have to question and look at.
You
overwhelmed,
know what's funny?
Exactly.
When I always laugh because when somebody talks about their chasing dream, I laugh and I go, yeah, I used to have dreams all the time where I was being chased, but then I would hide and they could never find me, and then I'd always be one step ahead of them. So it's not like I was afraid in my chasing dream, but I was like trying to outsmart them. Which is probably not normal, but...
Yeah. You know, it's funny, though, because there's also situations, I mean, I've had dreams, you know, and it's, you know, another thing, too, is interpreting your own dreams sometimes is actually more difficult than, you know, interpreting the dreams of others. And that's because knowing yourself is the biggest puzzle. Once you can solve yourself, it becomes a bit easier to solve, you know, others. And So, but when it comes to yourself and interpreting dreams, you know, I've had dreams where I was being chased as well, and you know, I was same thing, I was hiding, you know, and then you reflect and you're like, well, I'm hiding, you know, I'm trying to get away from something and I'm hiding and I'm not facing it, you know, and then you think of, you know, in your life, like, what are you going through, you know, what's happening in your life right now that is either a burden, or you can't face it. You know, right. And a lot of times, you know, dreams are nothing more than, you know, you're technically, it's still reality even when you're dreaming. You know, it's a different state of reality, but you're just bringing out a lot without distraction. You're bringing a lot that you've suppressed or you've kept under wraps until it's time for, you know, quiet time, and then they all kind of come up in randomness and. You know, but it's all you. It's all your experiences. And sometimes when other people show up in your dreams, and, you know, it's very much, you know, our connection to everything. You know, it's you know, us transmitting signals. And even in our dreams, mm-hmm. in our consciousness, we're receiving signals from other people. You know, sometimes, you know, someone that has passed shows up in a dream, you know. And it's either them trying to connect with you and trying to speak to you in a time where you're not distracted. You know, mm-hmm. and that's the best time for communication. You know,
yeah,
so
they like
that's
to come in,
you know,
it's a comfortable place when they know somebody's that relaxed that they're able to come in and give their messages and someone's able to receive them. Because usually there are some people where they just can't get that in their conscious mind.
Exactly, and it's the unconscious mind that's always conscious. That's the beauty of dreaming. I think dreaming is not right. only necessary because, you know, it's part of, you know, the sleep cycle for us, but I think it's something that people kind of undermine, and, you know, it's definitely important. You know, people, even some of the greatest ideas have come from dreams. You know,
oh,
it's
absolutely.
A time where you really can reflect. It's your escape, you know, so
yep.
I think dreams should be taken more seriously.
I actually have a question where, you know, when I'm doing readings on people, there are a lot of times where I'm getting information that, you know, people are coming through to them in their dreams and that type of thing. And they're like, I don't dream. I don't get that information. I'm like, you're not remembering them, you know, but they're definitely saying they're coming in. And what is your take on that? What do you feel when somebody insists that they've never had a dream ever?
You know, that also has to do with, it's chemically too. You know, I'm not a scientist or psychologist or anything like that, but when it comes to dreams, if a person can't remember them, it's not true that they're not dreaming.
Right.
You know, they are definitely, they're reflecting, and there's something going on in, you know, while they're sleeping. But if they can't remember them, there's a lot going on in the mind, you know, like the mind's as complex and as brilliant as the brain is, you know, if someone can't remember their dream, it's honestly because either their sleep schedule is completely off, you know, they're not getting proper rest, proper diet, all these different things contribute mm-hmm. to them not remembering. But to say that they never had a dream, that's just saying, like, you know, I never breathed before. But
yeah,
because
no.
you're not thinking about it, you know. No, you breathe. You breathe all the time.
Right,
you're not thinking
right.
about it, but you're breathing. You know. So dreams happen.
Right.
They may be short. They may be complex. Not going to make any sense to the person. But you know what? People also say, "Oh, well, I never sense anything." You know, some people don't even know what the word intuition means, right? But
yeah.
people have the ability to sense things all the time, and it's just written off as it's a coincidence. No, it's not a coincidence. You know, so it's just the perspective, the perception that people have of dreams. Some people don't even place any importance on them, you know, so it's kind of like whatever, go to sleep, wake up, you know.
And yet that's one of the most important places where we get such great guidance and information. And, you know, some of us don't ever stop dreaming, so we feel like we never sleep. But
I
think it's amazing, like, the amount of things, the information or the ideas that I've gotten while sleeping. Like, I mean, that's where, like, 90% of my...
Well, I,
you know,
I get very frustrated because my dreams are full of people that I know so well in the dreams, I have no idea who they are when I wake up. I wake up going, who the, where are those people? I don't know. And I kind of miss
them.
Well,
you know, it's, let me tell you something. I actually had, I think I told Jackie this before, or when Alexis used to be with us. Crazy, crazy, crazy dream. I definitely need to share this with you guys. What happened was I had a dream one night where I was with family and friends and whatnot, and we were on top of this mountain, and it looked like Scotland, Nova Scotia, one of those places where there's, you know, high mountains and a beautiful scenery. And I was in this house with family and whatnot, and there was this person that was there kind of, you know, kind of giving a little reading, ceremony kind of thing, and we're all crowded around the table. And, you know, I was really, really into it, but there was a skeptic there. And the skeptic was like, you know, oh, I don't believe in this stuff. Like, how, you know, how is this supposed to, you know, heal us and whatnot? And I don't remember the exact ceremony, what was being done. There was candles around the table. But the long story short, this is kind of crazy. In the dream, I started to get angry, and I vented to this one person who was a skeptic about, you know, how, you know, if you don't understand something or you don't know something, doesn't mean that it's not real or it doesn't exist. And, you know, I went off on a tangent about how, you know, if you haven't seen something before, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Like, have you seen the universe? No, but it's there. You know, have you seen China? No, but you know it's there. You know, so, you know, that's how I went off about it. But then this person holding the ceremony all of a sudden goes, you know, you should listen to Bracco. And I was like, what's Bracco? You know? Yes. And I was like, what's Bracco? And I'm thinking, so all of a sudden he turns on this song, and it's this soothing music, and this person says, you know, you should really listen to Bracco. And then the dream ends. And I was like, oh my gosh, I woke up. And I told my brother this dream. And my brother goes, hey, why don't you look up what, you know, Bracco is, right? So I start Googling Bracco, and I'm like, you know, what is Bracco, right? And I didn't know how to spell it. I tried to remember what it looked like in my dream when he spelled it for me. But, you know, I typed it in Google. I spelled it like Bracco and whatever. And finally, I spelled it Bracco, I believe it was. And it happened to be someone, this is crazy, happened to be someone who is, I guess he's considered a healer. He's a gazer. And basically he gazes onto, you know, his audience for about 5 to 7 minutes. And apparently people have claimed that this person, Bracco, heals people by just looking at them. There's this energy that he gives off, and, you know, he's healed family members who weren't even there, and they were in the hospitals, and they would bring their pictures, and he would gaze onto the pictures, and they would be healed. So it's unbelievable. But now the craziest thing is that he is from Scotland, and in my dream, I was in Scotland. So
oh, wow.
So I was like, so is this person trying to call out to me? Like, I was trying to understand who this, you know, Bracco person was. And what the craziest thing is that I think I was telling Jackie that I was about 26 years old is when a lot of things in my life started to change, a big transition in my life. And I come to find out that Bracco is now in his 40s, but it was around 26 years old that he discovered his gift. And it was just, everything started to tie in. I'm getting chills right now just talking about it. And to this day, I haven't met Bracco. I don't know who this person is, but there's a, I guess, beyond physical connection that I have with this person, Bracco, as if I'm supposed to still talk to him or meet him one day. And the healing part, he's a healer. So what I associated that with was, hey, you know what? You know, I was going through a rough time. Jackie knows I went through a really, really difficult breakup at the time. And, you know, my life definitely, you know, turned upside down. And, you know, I was having this dream of Bracco. And when I read that he was from Scotland, and I usually have dreams where I'm at this place. I've never been there before, but it looks familiar. It looks like home. And it's usually a place like Scotland or the Netherlands. You know, it looks like that kind of, you know, place. And that's basically what the dream was. So just to show you that you may meet people in your dream that actually do exist. They're out there. And they're reaching out to you. Because, like I said, everyone's connected. And, you know, and not connected physically, you know, it's beyond physical. It's electromagnetic. It's, you know, it's vibrations. It's energy. That's how we're all connected. And I feel that this person, Rocco, maybe he doesn't know me specifically. I don't know him specifically, but his energy is reaching out to me, and I was supposed to meet him at some point. So, you know, your dreams do say a lot. And a lot of times it's a shame, but a lot of times there's brilliant ideas and, you know, experiences that people have in dreams that just go unnoticed or go, you know, undermined because they're just dreams.
Yeah. I should pay more attention to who these people are because I forget, you know, who they are as soon as I wake up.
Yeah.
But
yeah, do they usually...
Keep a dream journal.
I don't... Do
that. What's that?
I suggest that to a lot of people. I tell them to keep a dream journal. Keep a journal next to their bed so they can write things down if they wake up in the middle of the night or, you know, in the morning when they can remember.
I just feel so bad that they're gone. You know, it's like we were such good friends in the dream, and then I wake up and they're gone, and I don't know who they are. And it's like, oh, gee, miss them already.
What kind of impression do they usually leave on you after while they're there?
It's always something good. Either, you know, we're working on something or you know, people that I'm involved with in a project. But it's never negative. And it's usually all these really good people that I associate with that, you know, are artistic or energetic and have good ideas. And it just feels good to be around them. And then they're gone. So... And I don't know who they are.
And you
in the dream,
you know
I feel
who they
like
are, huh?
Well, and in the dream, it's like, oh yeah, old buddy, old friend, here you are again, you know. And but then when I wake up, I just sit there going, who was that person? I don't know who they are.
You haven't met them yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Going in, you know.
So it's always very comfortable, but it's always, you know, when I'm in the dream, it's never like these are new people that I'm meeting. It's always like, you know, I'm back with old friends. So.
Gotcha. So are they reoccurring where you see them again and, you know, but only in the dreams?
I don't recall ever seeing the same people. The same feeling, though, of being around the interesting, you know, vital people. I don't remember the same people, but I always have the same feeling of being... with old friends. So,
do you have a longing? Are there people in your past that you no longer have contact with? That, you know, maybe memories of friends or times that you enjoy, and you know you don't have them anymore.
I moved around so much when I was a kid. I was always leaving friends behind. And
gotcha.
A lot of people that I didn't see because I moved around a lot. And then when I was in the military, of course, people come and go all the time. There were a lot of good people.
So it's the stability, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. I wish I could just remember who they were, like get a name or something.
what do you think about, like...
what
were you going to say, friend?
Go ahead, Fran.
I was just going to say, it's less important, and not that, you know, I'm not saying that it doesn't mean something, but it's less important to know their names, and, you know, maybe that's the reason why you're always showing up, but you never get their name, is because it's less important to know, you know, who they are, but just the feeling that they bring when they're there. You know, it's that comfort that you were talking about. It's the feeling of, you know, having the companions, the friends, and whatnot, and I think it's maybe an area where you're longing. A part of you is longing that, and the fact that you said you were in the military, people come and go as when you're younger, and friends come and go, and maybe these people are not anyone specific, but just a part of you that wants that companionship, wants those people around, the positive energy. You know, and do you have that in your life right now?
Oh, yes. You got us. Actually, there's a group of us that meet all the time. We were friends since high school, and we make it a point to get together several times a year. But we used to hang out in high school and do stuff, and we still do that. And their kids think we're crazy, they can't believe that, you know, because most people that I've met don't really have fond memories of their high school years. And we always got, you know, and then as the different members got married, the spouses came into the group, and so when we get together, it's always a good time. Always a good time. We just recently had a Mardi Gras party. So
then your dreams seem to be telling you that's, you know, the joy that you're experiencing in your life, you know, translates right into your dreams. You're getting the same kind of energy. You know, you seem like you're carrying around positive energy. So, you know, and that's translating in your dreams as well. You know, it seems to be an important part of your life. And so, again, it's less important about who they are that's showing your dream. It's just the fact that it's a reflection of you, really. Your dreams are usually a reflection of yourself. And that's something that you value, and it's showing up in your dreams as well.
Oh, well, that's good.
Thanks. Do you think dreams, when somebody has dreams that are, like really strange or, like, all over the place, like, far-fetched ones, when you interpret them, do you take each piece apart one by one? Because if they're pieces that don't seem to all fit together?
Repeat the last part again.
Say that somebody had a dream and it's just, like, way out there. And
like a disjointed dream that doesn't make any sense.
The pieces just don't fit together. And so it's not like, I was driving a car down the road and then we ran off a cliff. Say it's like a just the weirdest dream ever and it just does not fit together. Do you take each individual, like, piece of the dream out to interpret it, you know, separately? Or do you, like, how do you do that?
Here's the thing. I always say this. Like when even let's go to reality that you know the reality we're in right now. We're talking and whatnot. In this reality right now, if something's going on, and your mind you're here, but your mind is somewhere else. Okay, you're not going to be in the moment. You're not going to perform as well. Okay, because again you're there, but you're not there. Right, so. You're all over the place, okay? And it may be something as simple as, like, you know, hey, you know, I didn't pay that bill, or, you know, I still have to do laundry, or I have to, you know, take the kids here, and I got to do this. And things undone, okay? They're not complete, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When your life is full of that, your dreams tend to reflect that as well. So if it's all over the place and there's no cohesion, there's no rhyme or reason as to why things are happening the way they're happening. It's your life. It's a reflection of your life at the moment. You know, there's no synergy between things. Things are just all over the place. And typically I notice that when I have dreams, because I have them too, when I have dreams like that, I'll reflect and, you know, like, wow, I'm putting off a lot of things. You know, there's a lot of things that I'm just kind of I'm neglecting. You know, maybe it could be something as simple as, like, oh, I've had to clean the room for the past week, and I just keep thinking about it, you know? And so so stuff like that. And then when you start small or start to organize certain parts of your life, you know, I always say, like, don't make fun of the guy who collects rocks, because the person collecting rocks, it's what makes sense to him or her.
Yeah.
You know, it's what makes his life feel in order, you know, and organizing his rocks, you know? So same thing with dreams. When they're all over the place, I don't really place too much emphasis on the individual parts, but just as a whole, the dream is showing the bigger picture that you are having a life that's really not in order right now, you know, and that's where I start with. So I'll start to ask questions about their life, you know, where what's going on in your life right now, you know. Usually my dream interpretations have almost very little to do with the dream itself.
Yeah,
it's more
yeah.
so. Okay, let's take this dream and now let's apply it to your life. That's how it goes. The dream itself, again, each symbol means something different to somebody else. So I'm not really, I honestly could care less when it comes to dreams and people tell me where they are, what they're doing. No, let's take that out of context now and let's apply it to your life. Because that's what we're digging into. That's what we're trying to figure out. You know, so.
Yeah, and sometimes
so when it's all over the place,
it's more complicated and then it ends up being such a simple, like a simple
meaning. Yes, exactly. That's the whole thing. It's when you start looking, you start overanalyzing, and you start looking too, you know, too much into the details of things. Like, no, you know, when I have dreams of tornadoes, for example, I'm not thinking like, oh, you know, in reality, like I'm really scared of tornadoes. No. Like, what was the overall feeling that you had in that dream? Well, I felt fear. I felt, you know, I felt confusion. Okay, so now those feelings are what are real. Those feelings, you felt those things. So let's apply it to your life. What is making you fearful in your life right now? You know, what are you doubtful about in your life right now? So I'm not concerned. It could be, because look, at the end of the day, it could be an earthquake or a tornado or a hurricane, a tsunami. I'm not concerned with that. It's how do those things make you feel? Because that's where we can go from.
What if you have an alien and a cheesecake in the same thing? I'm telling you, I laughed at. I have to tell you this. It's really quick, but I had the weirdest freaking dream that aliens came down. There was aliens, like aliens that look like the general alien that people see with the big
grays.
Eyes. The grays. And I remember myself being in that dream, my son. There were a few other people from, like, in the store that, you know, our group. And I remember that I was running into a house that was not mine. I didn't know whose it was. I remember there was, like, all this pandemonium. I was running into a house with everybody, and these aliens were coming.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew the aliens were going to be in the house, too. And I remember going to the refrigerator, and it was my house, like, no, I have to save the cheesecake. This is what I said in my dream. I have to save the cheesecake. I open up the refrigerator, and I'm trying to get the big, two huge cheesecakes out, and my son is behind me going, Mom, what are you doing? The aliens are here. And I'm going, I got to grab the cheesecakes. It took me a long time to do. And so I'm running. My son's like, you're crazy. Hide. And I'm going, I'm yelling at everybody, hide, get under something. They can't. And I was saying they can't find you underneath. They can't sense you. And I was telling people to go under things. And I'm running through the hall with my cheesecake. And this alien grabbed my arm, and I bit their hand. And I, in my dream, I could taste me biting their hand, like they were bleeding or something. But it didn't taste like blood. It tastes like syrup. And I remember going, I bit the alien, and he pulled back, and then I ran with the two cheesecakes. I dove under something, and my hands up, saving the cheesecake. And then I woke up. And I'm going, what the heck kind of dream? Because I actually woke up going, I woke up afraid almost because there were aliens. And but at the same time, when I was in my dream, the only thing I had on my mind in my dream was saving those cheesecakes and the people that were with
me. Did you actually make cheesecakes?
No, I didn't. I didn't make any cheesecakes. Oh, I used to bake. I used to have a cheesecake business.
Oh, all right, okay.
But that was like 20 years ago, you know. So, but the funny part was how I got aliens, cheesecakes, my kids, people from here, and I'm trying to save everybody at the same time.
I was just gonna say. Well, here's the thing, like, you know. Knowing, you know, how you are as a person, I'd say that in a scenario, in a likewise scenario, you'd be the one to try to keep everything under control, and you have that personality, you know, and I think the cheesecake was nothing more than you making sure that nothing gets left behind, you know what I mean? Like you have a motherly, I guess a motherly essence to you, to not just your son or, you know, your family, but to the people you care about, you know. So in the dream, you know, I think what's happening there is, you know, again, less about the aliens and more so that you are, your priority in life is to protect the ones that you love, to, you know, that you, you care about the people that are close to you. And you, you biting the alien shows that, you know, there's something about you also that when push comes to shove, you know, you definitely will go as far as you have to defend the people that you love. Now, at the same time, though,
or a cheesecake.
I think the whole cheesecake thing. I can't really. I'm not really getting too much of cheesecake, to be honest with you.
Well, I must tell you, cheesecake is my all-time favorite dessert. So that might have something to do with it.
That I was gonna say you either went to bed with a sweet tooth.
I love cheesecake, and I really try not to eat it because it's fattening, and I love cheesecake. So it's funny that came out in an alien dream.
That's too funny. Now, were you scared? Were you scared that the aliens were going to take away your cheesecake or your family?
I was both. The first thing I did was I had to go to the refrigerator, and as I'm taking the cheesecake out of the refrigerator, I'm telling everybody, quick, get under something. They can't reach you. And I'm making sure everybody, as I'm getting the cheesecake, I'm yelling to everybody what to do. But when my son was yelling at me, Ma, leave the cheesecakes. And I'm like, no, I can't leave the cheesecakes.
Let me ask you something. Actually, you know, something just hit me as you were telling me this, too. How many of the people in your dream were listening to you when you were, you know, commanding them, telling them what had to be done to be protected from the alien? Were they all listening to you, or were they, you know, being defiant or not really?
No, they were all scrambling, and I could see everybody diving under things to hide under things. So they were listening,
okay,
you know, to what I was saying.
Okay.
The only one that didn't really want to listen to what I was saying was my son, who was going in the other direction, telling me, go save yourself, stop worrying about the cheesecake. That tends to be how he is with me anyway.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's probably how it is in your relationship with him anyway. But some dreams, like I said, like they, not all of them hold, you know, a specific meaning as far as, you know, how it applies to your life. Sometimes there is that randomness, you know. But you know, even the topic of aliens, I mean, it could be. I remember you saying that. I don't know who it was. The one who was with us, I forgot her name, I feel really, really bad, that did the drawings and whatnot.
Eleanor.
Yes, so she was talking about, you know, aliens in the book one time, whatnot. So there's definitely, you know, an interest, I'm sure, that you have
in
life as well.
It's weird,
yeah,
it makes paranormal in with, you know, I mean, I'm sure we had been talking about that stuff anyway, but I think you're right. Just that, like you say, you can't really always interpret your own dreams, but when there's a lot going on and you're trying to juggle a lot, it seems like that's probably you're definitely dead on with that. That like trying to
to
get everything done and trying to
take care of, you know, the people you care about and whatnot, but. You know, obviously people are scrambling in your dream. There's chaos and whatnot, panic. You know, those, again, like, I try to place less emphasis on, you know, the objects and the things going on and more just, like, the feeling the dream has given you. And if you felt panic and, you were scared or whatever, all those things, you know, could be applying to something recent that's been happening in your life, you know, that maybe, you know, it could be, you know, it could be career-based, you know what I mean, what you're doing in your life, career-wise, or your family, you know, something is placing some kind of stress on you, you know, and at the end of the day, you want to make sure that, you know, what's that?
That's my life. That's like, I'm always the one, like, you know, carrying the book, but that's just me, you're right, like, that's, I always have a lot of things going on at the same time, and I always have to have them all, like, top priority. So, you know, the way you're interpreting it is exactly my life.
Yeah, no, it's you know, I think that when we have a lot going on, typically that's when we have those, you know, those
weird
kind
dreams.
Of wild, weird dreams. Yeah, of course. And You know, in your case, you know, even under chaos, it's less about you. You know, and I think that that's really, really, that's a standout characteristic trait about you. That, you know, you, it's like I said, the motherly figure, you know, and in the midst of chaos, you know, you're still worrying about other people, you know,
yeah.
and I think that's why, mm-hmm. first of all, you are in this profession, you know what I mean? It's a clear reflection of that, you know, and, you know, it's not so much, it's never about you, it's about, you know, the people that are there, you know, seeking advice or help and whatnot, and, you know, and those people become like family to you. You know, it's not just another number, you know. And so I think that maybe there's something going on in your life right now where things could be a bit more systematic and orderly,
mm-hmm.
maybe a little out of place, you know, and just showed up as aliens and cheesecake in your dream.
Yeah, I think that was funny. Like, you know, how ironic that I have that dream last week and you're going to be talking about dreams this week. But, you know, I remember waking up at first feeling scared and then laughing, going, oh, but the cheesecake was in there. That's like my comfort food.
Well, the cheesecake, if anything, in such a serious, you know, in a serious situation like that, the cheesecake is the comic relief. Yeah, the cheesecake is the comic relief. And what that represents, too, is the fact that, you know, if things may be crazy, you know, maybe not the way you want them to be right now, you know, but you always have that positive outlook, you know, and that cheesecake, even though it's cake, the cheesecake represents that not all of it is bad right now. You know what I mean? Like, things might be crazy, but
in the end, there's still cheesecake.
Yeah, and
there's
a
still
lot of
cheesecake.
So now I'm going to make a cheesecake, and I'll get a little alien figurine, and I'm going to stick it right in the middle.
I think you should, and I think you should probably put like an alien face on the cheesecake or something.
I have a question for you, Fran.
Yeah, sure.
I've had this, well, it's not a recurring dream, because I'll be in different situations in different places, and I always have these same two guys show up. I don't know who they are, but they're salesmen. They never interact with me. They're always talking to somebody else, but the thing that stands out is that one guy is always dressed in this canary yellow suit, and I've never seen him on face front. I always kind of see him in profile, and he doesn't talk much. The other guy does the talking, and they're always talking with other people, but I'll be in a dream where I'm in a restaurant, and these two guys come in, or I'll be at a ball field or something doing something, and the two guys show up, and when I wake up, I go, why are these guys in my dream? Who are they? I don't know who they are, but it's that yellow suit that I always remember.
Okay, the yellow suit is, and this is the person that doesn't say much.
He doesn't talk at all.
Okay.
Quiet, but carries a briefcase, and the other guy, who's kind of bald and does all the talking and all the selling. And like I said, they don't interact with me. It's just that they always show up where I'm at different places. And it's just that yellow suit that is like, oh, my God, there's that
You know what's interesting? What's interesting about that? What I'm actually getting from this is that you seem to be the person, look, I can tell your personality. You seem to be the kind of person that when you walk into a room, you can definitely light up a room. You've got you know, also a positive vibe from you, I'm getting. And believe it or not, even though they're males, right, the person in the yellow represents you. The person in the yellow jacket that you keep seeing, because they're not interacting with you. They, if anything, they're more like the mirrors of yourself, and because they're showing up wherever you are, okay? And I think what's going on is that you are seeing yourself a certain way. And maybe the not talking, but the vibrant yellow represents you, maybe a lack of confidence in something right now, but you also are positive. So there's something about yourself maybe you're lacking confidence in, but you also have the vibrant personality that can overcome that, and the other person talking with confidence and whatnot represents who maybe you want to be. Not so much sales. Again, the sales has nothing to do with it. You know, what they're showing you, what's showing up in your dream is basically almost like a yin-yang, you know, like the opposite of each other, okay? And that's what, it's a reflection of yourself. It's probably maybe there's a part of you that, you know, you want to either develop more. You know, you have this maybe lack of confidence in a specific area of your life right now, but there's yellow there, and yellow is vibrant, it's sunny, it's happy. So, you know, you see yourself as this happy person, but maybe there's an area where you'd like to develop or have more confidence in.
Oh, wow. Thanks. Because I tell you what, every time I see that yellow person, I come here to Jackie and go, I saw that yellow guy again.
That's
so
funny.
So we have somebody on the phone calling in for you. Charlie's calling in.
Okay.
Hey, I'm here.
Hey, Charlie.
Hi, Charlie. How are you?
Good. I've got so many different dreams that I can talk about, but what's the one that I'm sure you've heard this before, but ever since I'm a kid, I had this dream where basically I could run and put my arms out and sort of just fly about a foot off the ground and then just soar up a little bit and then back down. And I've had this dream since I'm a kid. Just at will.
You've had, and this has been a reoccurring, this has been a reoccurring dream since you were a kid?
Absolutely.
And you have, well, let me ask you a couple questions first now. Do you have a fascination with flying to begin with?
I used to like it. I used to think that I'd like to become a pilot or get my flying license, you know, my pilot's license. But in the recent times, I've decided not to, just for the fact that I don't really think that I'd be a great pilot, so I figured, why bother? But,
okay.
But, you know, I look at the big picture. I don't look at the details. And I think if you're a pilot, you should be looking at both. So
how would this feeling, has it been the same since you were a kid when you're about a foot off the ground and you're soaring and whatnot? Is it an exhilarating feeling? Is it a, you know, what kind of feeling do you get or have you gotten from this kind of dream?
It's as good as or better than sex, how's that?
I believe it. It's a rush. It's an adrenaline.
It's exhilarating.
It's an adrenaline rush. Absolutely. That's what I was feeling. So, now when you come back down, and you realize, you know, okay, I guess I'm not flying forever here, you know, and you come back down. What how do you feel from that when you realize that, you know, it's not really happening as long as you want, or not happening at all?
Well, it's kind of funny because, you know, we've discussed dreams in the shop, and I've told Jack, and there's quite a few other people that can do it too, but I can actually control my dreams, you know.
Okay.
If it seems like I'm coming to an end of flying, well, then I'll just, you know, I'll just ease out of it and it won't bother me. Or like I can remember one particular dream I had a long time ago where it was scary, and I decided.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to make it scary. I'm gonna take control of the dream. I'm going to scare what's ever scaring me. And just,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And I took control, and that was it. I ended it because I didn't want it to be scary anymore. So, I mean,
okay.
When I'm flying, though, obviously, you want it to keep going. Because
wanting to keep going.
It is so, it's just so pleasurable. But the idea here is the fact that when you feel yourself fading off of it, then I just basically either I wake up and I'm in a really good mood, or I go into another dream.
Is there anything in your life at this point in your life right now where you either haven't accomplished yet, or you still are striving to accomplish?
Well, I've done a lot of things and I'm pretty proud of some of the accomplishments I've already done. And especially some of the dealings of how I deal with people. I'm proud of that. But I'm still looking forward to a couple of challenges that I think could be absolutely great. So I'm not just there yet to be able to take on those challenges, but I am scoping them out.
Because it seems as since you were a kid, you've always been ambitious. You've had the big dreams.
Yep.
I feel that this reoccurring dream that you're flying and it's exhilarating and whatnot. In real life, it would be quite a challenge to be able to fly. But you do it with ease and in control. The fact that you can go in your dream and control and tell yourself to keep flying. You have, if I can tell just by talking to you right now, that you have a lot of confidence in yourself. And the fact that you're not down to anything regarding how your accomplishments and your interaction with people, and maybe I'm sure you've helped people before and it's gratifying, and you have a powerful character. And I think that if you apply it to, let's say, superheroes, for example, let's say Superman, the flying is definitely a symbolic, overcoming and transcending, characteristic trait of Superman. So with yourself, you do set ambitious goals for yourself. You do want to accomplish things. You like a challenge. That's definitely, and I think that the dreams, this dream has reflected that since you were a kid. You don't back down. And I think that's what the dream is telling you. And I think that the fact that you've had this since you were a kid, and you continue to have it now, you don't forget the child side of you. I think you also know how to have a good time. And then I think that's relevant, and that's relevant in your dream as well.
Well, I do remember a lot of things from my childhood as far as both, being awake and my dreams. And we won't go into some of those dreams, when I was a pubescent. We're not going to go there, but I thought I'd save you guys on that one. But, there's always I used to have one dream that used to really bug me. I think when I was in college, high school and college, where I was trying to run as fast as I could, but I was running in about hip-deep mud, and you just couldn't get any speed. You just couldn't. You were just trudging through it, but you were trying to go as fast as you could. And it was always like something tied you back,
Were you going through something at that point in your life where you felt like you were
college.
Trying to get ahead? But some
college and high school.
Yeah. How were those years when you were in high school and college?
Kind of frustrating. I really didn't know if I wanted to be in college. I was thinking about it. I'd be in it, I'd be out of it, I'd be back in it. I wasn't exactly on the accelerated path to graduating. My parents, thought, geez, he keeps quitting and he keeps going to work instead of, going to school. And it just seemed to take forever,
Yeah, I was in the same boat, absolutely. I had 27 credits left before getting my bachelor's degree, but I didn't complete it as well. But my question to you is this something that you reflect on at all in your life right now, and maybe whether it's no resentment, but more so, looking back to saying, if I would have completed it, I would have applied myself. It was a challenge then, too,
I did get my degree.
Okay.
I got my degree, and now when I look back at what I did, I feel a little bad that, my parents spent all that money on tuition back and forth because it took me so long to graduate. But I laugh because I had a great time.
Yeah, and you know what though? That's a big thing about yourself is that you definitely you know how to have a good time, and I think that the fact that you're flying your dreams, and I think the control aspect too, the fact that you can control your dreams also shows that you have not a control thing about you, but the fact that, you know, you when you want to take hold of a situation, you're the kind of person that you can rely on yourself. It doesn't seem like you rely on too many other people to get the job done. It seems like you are pretty much, you know, you want to get something done, you do rely on yourself.
Yeah, that's pretty much true. You know, a lot of times if I'm working in a team environment, I never really feel like you can, you know, let's say you got a team of 10 people and you're all supposed to be doing something. I usually feel, you know, the 80-20% rule. 20% of the people are going to do all the work and 80% are going to sit back and watch you do it.
Yes.
Whenever I'm in an environment like that, that's what I figure. So a lot of times I'll take it on myself just to do it, get it done. And if somebody else wants to help out, great. You know, they can help out, but I'll probably end up doing it. So, yeah, a lot of times it's pretty much just me, myself, and I out of the group of three. So sometimes that
Well, again, this also is a reflection of, like I said, you had. It seems like you have confidence in yourself. When you're good at something, you know it. You know, so that's definitely a strong trait. So.
Yeah, where I work now, I feel like a lot of times people that are well above me in upper management areas, I feel like I have to drag them along to show them that possibly what I'm doing is probably better than what they're doing. And you know, I'm not saying that the way they're saying to do it is wrong. I'm just saying that the way that they're doing it's going to take a lot longer and probably not come out as well. So, you know, when I make my mind up to do it, you know, I'll drag them along and I'll say, here, watch, and this is how it's done, you know.
No, and I sensed that right away, just by, you know, the way you were, even the way from your dream itself, the you know, flying, and then, you know, the exhilarating feeling that you got, you know, being in control. And I think that applies to a lot of aspects of your life, not just your job, but I feel that, you know, you seem to have an eye for getting things done, you know, in an efficient, better way. Than what you see, and that comes with experience. It comes with you know, analyzing and knowing, you know, how the best way to go about a situation. And I feel that this dream that you're having, you know, that's reoccurring, I think that's just showing you that, you know, you haven't lost touch with yourself. And I think that's really important, the fact that you know who you are, you know, now that you know that you can control your dreams and whatnot, and That's a big part, because I feel you know this is not going to be a dream that's going to go away anytime soon. You know, I think that you're still trying to soar in real life right now. You know, although you've accomplished many things, I still do feel, like you said, there's challenges that you want to, you know, overcome. And you're the kind of person where I feel like you'd excel being your own boss as well too. You know, so I don't think. And that is not any offense or anything like that. It's just what I'm feeling off your personality is, you know, you're not one to respond well to barking orders, you know, people telling you what to do, especially when you know that it's your way is better. And that's not a bad thing. You know what I mean? If you know something's better, you wish you can get other people to see it the way you do, you know? And I think that you flying solo in your dreams is a reflection of that.
Sounds good.
All right.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks.
You're very welcome.
Bye, Charlie.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
So I know, Fran, you said you could only hang on until 8 o'clock.
Yeah, I have to actually get going, but...
Well, thank you so much.
It was definitely
for
a pleasure.
Giving us your interpretations and... for my yellow man that has bothered me for so long.
And Fran's
dream
interpretation, if anybody's interested, he's available for phone readings and email readings, so you can contact the store at 973-209-7070, or you can email us at trinitymetaphysical@yahoo.com if you're interested in reading with Fran. We already have one.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, guys.
But, yeah, you were great, Fran. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Have a good night, guys.
Thanks.
Good night, Fran.
Bye. All right, goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, I guess that's going to be it for tonight.
That was great.
It's always interesting talking to Fran.
Yes, and Fran's great with dream interpretations. He's been with the store for a few years now, and he's done great readings because he's intuitive as well. So, you know, in your readings, you get more than just a dream interpretation.
He's also a good life coach, too.
Yeah, he's great with life coaching, great with his intuitive readings, fantastic at dream interpretation, and, you know, everybody loves him, so... So now he will be available for, you know, phone readings and email readings for anyone else who would like to, you know, have some insight into their dreams as well. And, you know, if anybody's interested, you can contact the store. And other than that, we had a great time talking to Fran, and I'm so glad that he shared time with us.
Yes.
So it was great. So no more dead air.
Okay. Okay, so we're going to say good night for now, and we'll see you again next week.
Yeah, next
7 p.m.
week we're talking about past lives.
Oh,
and,
wonderful.
You know, past lives, past life regression, and how to connect with
them. I love
that
doing those.
Some, you know, stories, which, you know, a lot of past lives come in into your dreams as well. So
they always feel different,
though. It's going to be an awesome episode with this because everybody's so excited about half life stuff, so definitely looking forward to it.
So good. So let's see. It'll be a good night from Diane.
And Jackie.
Mercedes.
Good night, everyone.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.